Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Stark.
I'm glad to be here.
Good.
Are you glad to be here?
I'm glad to be here. Happy Easter, by the way.
Yeah.
Merry
tomorrow.
Easter. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah. So I hope everybody had a great weekend
good
so
Friday
far. Good
weekend,
Friday.
Yeah.
A great Good Friday.
That's good. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we, and I decided to pick a super light, not too heavy topic.
Yeah. We don't want to think too different. No, this is quite a topic that's very appropriate for this time of year when we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Right now, if you're listening to us on a Saturday, we're right in between, you know, Good Friday, looking back on the death of Christ on the cross, and then Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, looking at the resurrection. We're talking about death.
Death.
That's a big topic.
And I think, like, we talk about Easter as in the death, burial, and resurrection. We kind of put those together real fast.
Yeah.
Like saying your alphabet, LMNOP.
Yeah.
We kind of do that, death, burial, you know.
Yeah.
And we really put a heavy focus on the resurrection.
Yes.
Which, for obvious reasons,
yes,
I understand. But there had to be a death
first
for there to be a resurrection.
Yeah. And so I know it's kind of late to talk about it, but I do hope that our Fridays were spent at least in part in meditating on the death of Christ. It's always a good thing to do, no matter what time of the year it is. But the cross, really, it was the cross and the empty tomb. Those were the history changing events that really pivoted the human experience in a completely opposite direction, and very, very, you know, core to Christianity. No matter where you fall on the Orthodox Christian spectrum, no matter what denomination you're in, that is of vital importance. We can all agree that the death of Jesus on the cross and then his resurrection from the dead, those are non-negotiables when it comes to Christianity. You can argue about a lot of things in Christianity, but those two things are what determines whether or not something is Christian, in my opinion. So it's a good thing to set some time aside, even before Sunday, even before Resurrection Sunday, we set some time aside to remember the road leading up to that, I think, to provide context.
Yeah. And if you're listening, I think it's very important that you take this time, sit down with your family, whether you have, you know, or by yourself, if it's just you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a single person, no kids of my own. But I think it's important for me as well to sit down and to maybe dive into the story leading up to the death of Christ and his resurrection. And so, like, and if it's even, it's just as important for you to do that if you have, you know, if you're married, if it's just you and a spouse, if you have kids, sit down with them. And they may be little and they may not understand, but it's never too early to start pouring into them.
Yeah. Well, and too, I think when I'm looking at your conversation points here that you brought to the table, very good. You're talking about how death, the topic of death, can be some sort of like forbidden topic among young Christians. It is a very uncomfortable thing to talk about, especially when you're young. I think when you feel like, wow, that's a long way down the road, I don't have to think about that. You know, it can be a topic that young Christians can shy away from.
Yeah.
And I understand that personally. Like, I do not enjoy thinking about my own mortality and that one day I will actually pass away unless the Lord comes and, you know, catches me up into the air. that would be great. But, you know, if I'm just to go off of what I'm expecting, I'm going to live a full life and one day die. And that's not something that's really fun to think about. And so I can sympathize with people who like to shy away from that topic, especially people who have experienced the death of people who are close to them. It can be very, very heavy and weighty. And I think, too, particularly for our generation, for the millennial generation, we are often, when you look at statistics about and studies about the generations in recent times, so like, you know, baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, and then Gen Zers, and then soon after them, Generation Alpha. So crazy times are in store for us. But millennials are often called optimistic. Like, mm-hmm. we have a very optimistic view of the world in general.
Yeah.
And so we want things to be sort of, you know, happy. We want to see the positive side of things. We don't really want to dwell on the sad, negative aspects of life as much as maybe our Generation Z siblings, who went through a whole lot of stuff way early on than we did.
I mean, like, I just keep thinking of, like, there was a show that my friend was watching. You want to watch this with me? And I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is making me sad. I don't like it. And I was like, I'm going to leave and right. let you finish this yeah. and enjoy.
Yeah. So I do think that we need to know how to cope with this topic because it is an important topic theologically in Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity has a lot to say about mortality and about death. In fact, the Bible, I would argue that death is a central topic
yeah.
of Christianity, and it's something that we need to come to terms with and shape our viewpoint, I think, according to what the Bible says about it, so that we have a God-honoring attitude, and so that when we're talking about death or when we're going through the process of grieving and the world's looking at us, you know, they can see hope
yeah.
rather than fear.
And death, I mean, you can go to the doctor, you can get checkups, mm-hmm. you can be told this and that, but death is not something that can be planned. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
it can, I mean, this week, if you're listening to this week,
mm-hmm.
you probably realize there was a big bridge collapse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's been all over the news, and you think of, like, the people out there working, the people on that bridge, they weren't thinking that day they were going to die.
Right.
I don't, you know, they didn't go out there thinking they were going to die. There are people all the time, I've lost family members in accidents, and, like, you're sitting there in shock. You're like, we didn't think.
Yeah.
They didn't get up that morning thinking they were going to pass away.
Mm.
And so, I, you know, if you're out there and you're, like, one of those that, like, I don't want to think about it, I'm so young.
Yeah.
You're not promised tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah. And that's a good point, too. And for us Christians especially, you know, while our hope is in Christ and we shouldn't fear death, I feel like that sort of the reality of the fact that anybody, like, tomorrow is not promised, it really should spur us on in evangelism,
mm-hmm.
I think, and in sharing the word of God to people around us that we know, family members who do not know the Lord, or we don't know if they know the Lord or not, to go ahead and uh-huh. have this conversation sooner rather than later, because you never know if, hey, this conversation I'm having with this person could be my last one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very real reality.
I know that I have regrets that I have to live with. People
yeah.
that I wish I had talked to sooner.
Right.
People that I will never be able to talk to again.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I have those, and mm-hmm. you don't, I mean, you, the fewer of those you have, the better. And I know this is, like, a real downer. I just realized this is such a downer.
Well, it is, yeah.
and stuff. And then when we, as Christians, sometimes you hear phrases like that death is actually celebration.
Mm-hmm. For believers,
for the one who died, it is.
Mm-hmm.
For the ones left behind, you can, you know, if you knew that they knew Christ, you mm-hmm. can live in comfort knowing that.
Yeah.
But it's still, that their absence
yeah.
is still a sadness. And then there's your own death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys.
Everybody's
I'm
like
sorry.
Tuning out right now.
Everybody's
being like,
no,
I want to listen.
No, thank you.
And this is exactly what we're talking about.
But again, you're doing exactly what we said you were going to do.
Yeah, so
avoid,
gotcha.
You can avoid it until it happens, I guess, but I mean, it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah.
I can't say that I don't, you know, like, if I have to hit my brakes really fast because someone stops and there's that moment where I kind of go, you
yeah.
know, like, that could have been really bad. You know, I do that.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm secure in where I, you know, where my eternity is.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I can celebrate knowing that, but I can't celebrate knowing that I know people
yeah.
who are not living in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean there is real sorrow. I think one of the points that you bring up here in these talking points is the universality of sorrow.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that every day is just going to be, you know, happy go lucky and you're just going to be living in sunshine and rainbows and happiness. That is absolutely not the truth.
And if you were led to believe that mm-hmm. and you accepted Christ, I'm going to say that whoever told you that it's not true.
Right.
They are mistaken. They yeah. are under some false pretense. So that's the way things are going to be, maybe.
Yeah.
But that is not yeah. the way things are.
In fact, you know, Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, you know, before his resurrection and ascension, he was called the man of sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says he was the man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. His
yeah.
life on earth was not, and I see this depiction of Jesus all the time in movies and in art, where there's just always just this peaceful, serene smile on his face, and the sun is just beaming down on him, and he's all aglow, you know, and he's just, you know, drifting in the wind of happiness, you know. It's, and I don't think that if we were to actually, you know, go back in time and go walk alongside him on his journeys, if we were to look at him, that would not be the picture we would see.
Jesus was human. He lived
yeah.
in human flesh with human emotions
yeah.
and human feelings. And he did not sin
yeah.
in those moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean he wasn't tempted or didn't feel things. It
right.
just means he chose to mm-hmm. keep on the path of righteousness.
Yeah. And I think that can actually help us put our own sorrows in perspective.
Yeah.
We tend to think of sorrow as a bad thing. It's like, oh, this is a bad thing. You know, God shouldn't want this for his children. But Jesus went through sorrow that we could never understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it all without sin. It was not, I don't know how to put this other than that, the fact that he went through that pain before us and then he took it to the grave with him and then he was resurrected and ascended
yeah.
to heaven. Like that, he's carving a path for us to walk in his footsteps. And if he can rely on God through sorrow that we could never imagine,
mm-hmm.
how much more can we, you know, rely on God through sorrows that, compared to the sorrow that Jesus went through, really isn't much.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an eternal perspective. He had that full understanding. As he went through the scriptures as a young boy, he understood it.
Mm-hmm.
He listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was taught, and he understood what the scriptures were saying about eternity, about eternal life. And so he knew, even when his friends died, and we talk about, you know, Lazarus, and the Bible says that, you know, Jesus wept at you know, with Lazarus. And I feel like a lot of people will point out, well, he wasn't necessarily crying for Lazarus. Maybe he was a little bit. Maybe the fact that there was this reality of sin and sorrow that people were going through actually, you know, prompted that
mm-hmm.
Response in Christ as well. I mean, that's hard to say. But I do think that he did have that eternal perspective, and still he felt that sorrow.
Yeah.
And I feel like that can help us with those times as well.
Yeah. Well, if you go into scripture and you go into the moments leading up to Jesus being nailed on the cross,
mm-hmm.
And then even when he was on the cross, I mean, you see moments when he prayed to God and asked, you know, if it's a possibility for this cup to be passed from him, and he went into that knowing full well everything.
Yeah.
Because he is God
mm-hmm.
in the human, in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew the pain and suffering that was coming.
Yeah.
But then he still did it because he knew that it was needed for
yeah.
our salvation.
Mm.
And then even on the cross, you know, he asked God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he felt those,
yeah.
those moments. It wasn't like, I mean, he felt the pain
yeah.
and the, you know, and then he died.
Right.
I mean,
right.
and obviously we know that he was resurrected, but that didn't completely wipe away the pain he went through. And I mean, and it wasn't an easy death.
Absolutely. And too, I think while I would never want to downplay the suffering that happened on the cross.
Yeah.
I feel like it's helpful to kind of look past just that aspect of his death and look at what was going on even on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
When he says, why have you forsaken me? I don't think that that was just something that he was feeling, but it wasn't really true.
Yeah.
God was forsaking him. There was this placing of sin that God can't even look on sin. There was this placing of the whole world's sin upon the character of Jesus, who had never sinned and mm-hmm. who was God. And up until that point, you know, Jesus Christ as the third person in the Trinity, God the Son, he had enjoyed eternal, uninterrupted, perfectly happy communion with God the Father. There had never been any changing in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There had been no, changing of degree of communication. It had always been perfectly happy and perfect communication, perfect communion. But in that moment, it was interrupted. That's something that our human brains could never comprehend.
Mm-mm.
Like, even angels would never be able to comprehend it. That's sorrow on a cosmic scale. And if he can go through that, and his work, his righteousness is given to us, is gifted to us through faith, which it is, the Bible says that we wear his righteousness as a robe, that should, while it doesn't negate the pain we go through,
uh-huh.
that should help us to rest on God even through life's
yeah.
trials when it comes to death. Especially when we lose a loved one, or even when we have the fear of our own death, we can remember, that Jesus went before us and took all that sorrow before we did.
Yeah.
And that his righteousness imputed to us, and we can rely on the same Holy Spirit that he relied on.
Well, like, just to put things in perspective, let's bring it down to your level, to my level as a human being,
yeah.
as just a person. There, I know that most people listening probably have someone in their life that they care about that's maybe not making good decisions,
yeah.
maybe not walking a good path. Even if you're listening and you're not a believer yourself, there's probably someone in your life that you think is making bad choices. And how much does that hurt you to see that? And you long for them to turn away from their decisions, from their actions, from the things that they are choosing to do. And it hurts. Could you imagine being... I'll just go and say you can't.
Right.
You can't imagine being Jesus, who Jesus doesn't, I mean, you're not a stranger to Jesus. Jesus knows you.
Yeah.
And on a personal level, he has watched me and you and everybody sin since the beginning of time. He has watched every, he knows that. And I just imagine him being on earth feeling like having the human emotions and all of that sin being put on him. All those things that he has watched and he wants you to turn from, and all of that being put on him at one time, in one moment.
Yeah.
There's not enough there. My brain cannot hold the feelings or emotions that come with that.
Yeah. I mean, goodness, we can barely handle our own lives. We're definitely not, as holy as God is. So that, it's one of those things. It is a mystery, how that all worked. But we can have faith that Christ did it.
Yeah.
And his resurrection is proof. It's a validation of his work being done and accomplished once and for all. There's nothing left over that hasn't been done.
And then you couple that with the physical pain.
Yeah.
again, I cannot comprehend.
Yeah.
Like, again, I have felt physical pain, but not like, I've cut my finger.
Yeah.
But he was completely bludgeoned.
Yeah.
And then still had to drag his own cross up a hill, and then was nailed to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just that amount of suffering. And then we've talked about, we have a heart for our sisters and brothers around the world that are suffering right now. And some of them they're going through situations that I can't imagine as well on that. And they're our sisters, we have sisters and brothers in Christ that are dying every day just for their belief.
Yeah.
And we can celebrate knowing that they didn't give up. They didn't turn away from God, and that they continued on and until the end. Mm. And we know that we will be reunited with them one day. But there's still that sadness, that sorrow of knowing what's happening to them.
Right. And I think, too, it's an interesting time. We're recording this on, or this is airing on the Saturday in between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. So both of those, the death on the cross and the resurrection, have a lot to do with our daily sorrows. One, we can see on the cross what Jesus went through physically and even spiritually to take on the sins of the world, to die for them, to experience the wrath, the infinite wrath of God against sin, to pay that debt completely with nothing left over, and to take that down into death with him, and then 2 days later, 3 days later, to be resurrected from the dead bodily. Yeah. I think taking the cross, you have to move from the cross to the empty tomb to get that full picture. Because if we just stopped at the cross, that's only half of the picture. We need to move forward into the resurrection, and that's where we find hope, right? Mm-hmm. Because if without the 1 Corinthians, I want to say, I think it's 15. I might be wrong about that, but in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about if the physical resurrection did not happen, if the resurrection of Jesus did not happen, then our faith is in vain. Then you can forget everything I'm talking about because it doesn't matter. The resurrection is like the cornerstone of Christianity. And so it's so vital for so many reasons to hold to the resurrection and to preach the resurrection of the dead. Because that's where our hope comes from. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then nothing that he did for us would have counted. This is the sign that it was a job done and his work is finished. And that's something we can take great hope in, as well as he's described as the first fruits of the dead. He is the firstborn of the dead. And what that means is he is the first one, first human to be resurrected from the dead to live forever. Now, there were people who were resurrected from the dead, like Lazarus and like some people in the Old Testament. They were resurrected to live for another, you know, period of time, and then they died because they were human and they were not glorified. Yeah. But Jesus was resurrected to live forever. And that is something that's promised for believers in eternity to come when Christ returns, that the dead will be raised and that the dead in Christ will be raised and glorified physically to live forever with him. And I think there's nothing more, there's no other doctrine, I think, that more profoundly shapes the way we see death than the resurrection. When we go to funerals, sometimes I go to funerals where the resurrection is really not talked about very much, or it's sort of an afterthought, and more focus is put on, oh, well, so-and-so just had a really good life. But the most powerful funeral sermons that I've heard are the ones that deal so much with the resurrection. And it's like, look, we are witnessing, we are seeing this thing play out right now. Someone has passed away. Someone has, mortality is a reality that we have to grasp. But this is not the end. We have this promise from God that because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, everyone who has faith in him will also have that. And I think we need to have that eternal mindset when we talk about death. If we're talking about death as Christians, but we never hit on the resurrection, we're kind of missing out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and in the, you're talking about the funerals that you've been to, and you're sitting there, and there's such a great sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And but there have been so many that I've sat in, and I was really heartbroken and sad to see someone pass away. But then I'm thinking of the person that we are feeling this sorrow over, and I'm thinking, you know, I know there are the ones that say that it's between them and God. It is, but I see the fruits.
Yeah.
This person claimed to be a Christian, and they walk the walk, and they talk the talk.
Yeah.
And I saw those fruits every day.
Mm.
All, you know, and They live their life for the Lord, and there's not really doubt in my mind that they're with him today. And then you just, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have a moment and you're like, we may be sad, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not.
Yeah, exactly. And look, that's a mystery to me, what that even means. Like, when a Christian dies and goes to heaven, like, obviously their body's still there, so it means that their spirit has been taken up to be with God. Whatever that means, like, that is a complete mystery to me, how they experience that. And that's a question for Christian philosophers to argue with until they experience it themselves.
Yeah.
But that is a wonderful thing to talk about, that we don't have to wait for the resurrection of our physical bodies from the grave to experience that presence of God, that even after we die, immediately being taken up to the presence of God spiritually is something that is promised to us. And I think what a great comfort, you know, especially yeah. for, you know, when we see our brothers and sisters die, you know, and we're at their funeral, we can celebrate that they are there with Jesus, but we can also have that for us, that comfort for us as well. If we feel that, you know, we're near the end, or that we're just having difficulty thinking about our own death and how to cope with that, that's something that we really need to hone in on. Is, look, it's not a sad thing. Death mm-hmm. is, the Bible says, death, where is your sting? Like, for the believer, death has no sting. There is no sorrow there. Now, we do miss people. Like, that's, of course, there's sadness in that way. But we're not sad because they're dead. We're just sad that they're not with us right now.
Yeah. It's a really selfish kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. We're sad for ourselves, kind of. But death has no sorrow for the Christian, or it shouldn't. And having that eternal perspective, and even just that idea of, you know, we die, we go to be with God.
Yeah.
That's a great comfort.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm so glad, everybody, if you're listening, mm-hmm. thank you so much for joining us. But if you want to know more about what we do here at the American Family Association, go to afa.net. You can be connected with us in a lot of different ways. We have an online blog, magazine, a resource center with different resources for you to be able to purchase, a new site, and lots more. So yeah. Go to afa.net.
And I hope you have a good, blessed Easter. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.